With budget environment and workforce troubles driving state governments into an unprecedented level of uncertainty surrounding government operations, the importance of planning and visioning effectively is growing more and more every year.
The three biggest priorities we've got coming up this year is to optimize the environment.
But right now, our top three priorities are cybersecurity, cybersecurity, and cybersecurity.
I've been meeting with all of our customers, just kind of understanding what their priorities are.
You're listening to Priorities, the show where State Scoop and state information technology leaders take you through the main focuses of the state IT community.
Today for our fourth episode, we'll be talking about enterprise vision and roadmap for IT, how to convince your administration that IT is a strategic capability, how to integrate and influence strategic planning and visioning with an eye toward future IT innovations, and how to align your visions with your governor's policy agenda. As there always is with these issues, there's no single solution or idea that works for all states. Instead, each state must find their own individualized approach to enterprise visioning and developing an IT roadmap. Today on our program, we have a group of state IT thought leaders and industry officials who have vast experience developing smart and effective enterprise visioning strategies. First joining us today, we have the State Chief Information Officer of Minnesota and the Commissioner of Minute IT Services, Tom Baden. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're also joined by William Chumley. He's the Chief Customer Officer for the state of Colorado. William, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jake. Glad to be here.
In addition, we have Tom Girton, the Chief Information Officer and the Chief Digital Officer for the state of Rhode Island on the line today. Tom, so glad to have you here.
Thanks a lot, Jake. It's nice to be here.
And we also have Dan Kent, the U.S. Public Sector Chief Technology Officer and Director of Solutions for Cisco. He's here again with us today. Dan, glad to have you.
Thanks, Jake. Glad to be here as well.
And finally, we have David X, the Chief Technologist of Red Hat's Public Sector Team. David, glad to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Jake.
And I also want to take a minute to thank our friends at Red Hat and Cisco for sponsoring today's episode of Priorities. And with that, let's get started. Tom Baden, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing around enterprise vision and IT roadmap in Minnesota. I mean, it's been great watching what you've done this far in the state, and I'm looking forward to seeing some more. What's that most important factor that you guys include in your IT strategy?
I came into the position with really, I was looking to put together fully integrated intelligent innovation platforms to really move along with the governor's vision of a better Minnesota. What became really clear very quickly was that first priority one, is that we needed to secure the state. So we put in place a series of enterprise policy standards and guidelines, the first signed off last July, the first time in the state. We put together a strategic plan that we vetted out through many CISOs around the state. We've got a number of Fortune 500 companies, and we were really lucky to have them come in and validate our plan and really put together, and now it's really executing upon that cybersecurity plan, which is proactively managing risk, improving situational awareness, having a robust crisis and incident response plan, and partnering with public and private entities to ensure that success.
That's great. That's a great answer. And William, let's pivot to you in Colorado. I mean, tell us a little bit about how the folks in Colorado Governor's Office of Information Technology are developing an enterprise vision and IT roadmap, and what's that most important factor that you guys include in your strategy?
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, certainly the legislature here has asked us to really develop some plans to help them not be so surprised if we come ask for money. We've been working hard with them to have them understand that technology debt and the ongoing need to invest in IT is really a key strategy item in itself. And so we pulled back and decided to look at, we did the security area as David already spoke to. We've looked at consolidation and technology standards. And once we set out some of those key outcomes that we'd like to see from a plan, we identified service owners. So we looked for folks who might drive the data centers or might drive the customer service portal and asked them to work with the state agencies to come up with key initiatives over the next 5 years. The last year and a half, we've been working on those five-year roadmaps, which now we can develop and modify each year. The key elements that we want to make sure are in all of the plans are really customer outcomes and clear customer service objectives. We certainly have elements related to reducing complexity and achieving our technology standards, but we're trying to transform the cultural view of IT in the state to just understand that we're here to provide customer service to the citizens, and technology is just one way to achieve that. That we, you know, we're not necessarily going to save money all the time, but we can certainly streamline services and deliver it more efficiently. So those are the key elements that we're looking for in our roadmap.
That's great. I'm happy you brought up the, you know, the streamlined services and making it operate more efficiently. I think that's a common theme that we've heard in pretty much on every episode of Priorities so far, and that, you know, that idea transcends a lot of different subject areas. So that's really cool. Let's pivot to Tom Gerton. You know, I mean, what are you seeing surrounding IT visioning in Rhode Island, and what's the most important factor that you guys are including in your IT strategy?
Thanks, Jake. You know, it's amazing listening to a couple of the answers and certainly networking with other state CIOs and technology leaders, how we're all in the same boat. There's a lot of that same work. We have the Governor's Cybersecurity Commission that we went through last year, and we're acting on a lot of those recommendations. But also, there's groundwork that needs to be done to be able to lay out that master plan and understand what we're going to be doing for the next 5 years or so that just doesn't seem to have really been the main priority for quite some time. And you talked about the technology debt in some areas. We're bolstering a lot of our infrastructure. But the biggest difference I see that we're making is working directly with all the agencies and on the business end of things to partner with them and have individuals that are helping guide them in making some of these technology decisions, because too often they're working in silos. And our job, and certainly a big part of my job, is to go out there and meet with them on a regular basis and become really tight partners to be able to drive these decisions and answer the business needs, but also not operate in those silos.
That's great. And again, that, you know, that working out of those silos and finding a way to collaborate more across government is something that, you know, we keep seeing. And it's good to hear folks in your position, you know, talking about that and making that a priority, because that, you know, shows that commitment to that efficiency and that commitment to, you know, a more efficiently flowing government. That's great. I want to turn to the industry perspective here. I mean, you know, Dan, let's turn to you. Given what you've just heard from William, Tom, and Tom, you know, what's the biggest challenge you're seeing with your partner states when they're looking to plan long-term for their enterprise vision?
Sure. I think the obviously, being the chief technologist, I'm obviously talking technology to my customers. And in general, the technology shifts that we're seeing happening right now, and that shift in the various technologies with the people in process, that clearly are the big challenges. So if you look at the driving culture and the movement of skill sets of the people, it's clearly a challenge. If you look at our cybersecurity challenge, it's often around talent. But there's also the technology itself. We've got lots of various technologies happening simultaneously here. We've got cloud computing. We've got the increased deployments of mobility and, of course, IoT. All of these planes are shifting at the same time. So the states are looking at, how do I align with each of those and then look out 5 years? It's really almost an impossible task. So putting all that together, it really talks architecture, talks long-term planning, but short-term risk mitigation and short-term steps to get to that long-term planning. It's a great challenge.
That's fascinating. And what about you, David? I mean, what are the challenges you're seeing from your folks in the community?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I'm really so excited to hear Tom, William, and Tom talking about the doing the security. That's something that is something that it keeps me up at night, especially, you know, not just as a somebody in the industry, but as a taxpayer and a citizen. That's, I'm so happy to hear that that is such a high level of focus. But I also think that a state's enterprise vision has to be tied back to innovation. But one of the challenges that you run into is that it's really difficult to innovate when there are a lot of agencies where 80% of their budget is focused on keeping the lights on. And so what I've seen a lot of our customers doing is that they've been focusing a lot on not just the security aspects, which is great, but also the standardization part. And by providing that standardization, it puts in this factory floor that can really unleash innovation. You know, we've had – actually, I was just talking to one of our teams where the one state they were working with, they had a four-month backlog and over 3,500 work requests queued up. And that's obviously going to prohibit them from doing any sort of innovation at all. And so what we've been doing is we've been working with them to migrate all of their Unix and various Linux workloads and consolidate them on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And that's working well for their Mode 1 workloads or systems of record. But they're also using OpenShift, which is a platform as a service tool for their Mode 2 workloads or net new Java workloads, which really will help them So RHEL is going to help them standardize and focus on clearing the backlog, but OpenShift is really going to position them for the future innovation.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that perspective there. One of the things, and I alluded to this earlier, but I mean, one of the things at StateScoop that we're hearing often from folks in state government is the importance of justifying that importance, is the importance of justifying how essential it is for government to see IT as a strategic asset and not necessarily as a cost center. I mean, you know, I think infamously, or maybe famously, we're not sure which, at NASIO conferences every year, we used to hear from Chris Estes of North Carolina, and he would say, you know, the importance of bringing IT out of the back room and into the boardroom, you know, as a part of those decision-making, you know, the decision-making process, and using IT to really, you know, be strategic and make good investments and good decisions in state government. William, you know, let's go back to you. How are you guys using in Colorado an IT strategic plan to help justify the importance of your organization to your leadership?
Well, I think, Jake, building on, it's good to hear David talk about the kind of baselining and standardization. We found that we did have to look at our keeping the lights on efforts and really prove that we could just do basic delivery and yet build in a strategic view of, if you trust us after the next year and a half of doing getting back to the basics, then here's our roadmap to build out platform as a service, enable the customers to configure some things on their own, show that we could deliver on a variety of areas. And I think the strategic plans and the roadmaps, by pointing at our ability to modernize many of the systems. We have a lot of applications that are 25, 30 years old. Being able to say, if we could get everything onto a common platform that then helps us stabilize the skill set we need in IT, it lets us then do that innovation that was talked about earlier as well. I think we all want to do the cool new stuff, and the only way to do that is by stabilizing everything as it exists today. We've had a lot of success with our legislature and the agencies in being able to show what the plan is across the next few years, and then we can go back and say, look, we delivered on this, so trust us with the next evolution, trust us with migrating to something new. And we have over half our agencies right now have some huge modernization effort going on, and we're trying to drive them into our standards and some of those new platforms.
That's great. That's great. And what about you, Tom Baden? I mean, how do you use strategic visioning to justify the importance of IT in Minnesota?
First off, from a management perspective, there's kind of five key tracks that we need to organize together. Cybersecurity, of course, is one piece. Operations, you know, we're heading toward a hybrid cloud shared services model. But baking in secure engineering, we're about four years into this journey of consolidation, and we've moved from 49 data centers down to 31. So we're still in this transition period of moving into a complete shared services model. But optimizing those operations in secure engineering with solid cybersecurity, I believe, will provide us the foundation to move up the stack. Moving up the stack, being partners in performance with our agencies and working really closely that each one of the projects we look to coordinate and orchestrate against other projects, so that wherever we build an asset, we've got an eye for where else that asset could be used. Long term, I really do believe that government needs to be fully integrated, it needs to be intelligent, and it's got to be innovation platforms, and to do that, it's one area that we need to de-diversify on and really move toward not necessarily one platform, but a couple of standard platforms that can all interact very well, but also use data and analytics to measure our effectiveness, to deter fraud, waste, and abuse, and really look at the combinations of the things that we're delivering in government. The other two components that we have to match up against that are, we, just like many other states, have got a human resource challenge. I look at 2016, about 16% of our staff is eligible to retire, 17, 20%, 18, 24%, 19, 27%, and by 2020, an additional 30%. We have a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-generation chance to really sort of reset, move our skill sets up the stack where they provide the most value to providing solutions to our agencies, but also build out a diverse, skilled workforce that'll take us into the next decade.
Those numbers are staggering when you hear them put like that. I mean, just that workforce challenge, and I believe it will be an entirely different podcast at some point, but I mean, that workforce challenge is just incredible to hear, you know, what states are going up against there. So I'll pose that same original question back to Tom Girton. You know, how are you using your IT strategy in Rhode Island to really justify the importance of what you guys are working on in your state?
You know, all great points by William and Tom. It's something that we're faced with. We're looking at about a 30% turnover in the next 5 years. And the way that we're using our visioning strategy in kind of getting out there and really working with the agencies, we've set up a separate track to do our annual budgeting, specifically focused on technology projects, similar to how you do it for any kind of, you know, capital asset. And we're looking to change people's mindsets. I think too often you're getting agencies or, you know, other entities that are responding to an immediate need and looking to over-engineer solutions. We have about two-thirds of our IT workforce that has been trained in lean process reengineering, so that we actually lead discussions and put IT people out in front to be kind of the valued thought leaders in how we could potentially change business processes to meet technology. So we're kind of tearing the process down first to be able to then apply technology solutions to that. And certainly at the same time, we bring all those technical people together and look for opportunities to be able to leverage solutions across multiple agencies. And by working in kind of small chunks of effort, you know, we've deployed a number of agile development teams in place now, and we try to develop in two-week sprints that we can then test code and be able to demonstrate in monthly showcases some of our development work and be able to prove some of these things out in a shorter window. It actually helps us out quite a lot in going back to the Office of Management and Budget and to the legislature and saying, you know what, we can show you tangible results and be able to roll out some of these solutions in a much shorter time frame versus what I've seen in the past, you know, looking at development projects and platforms that don't get spun up for 3 to 5 years.
That's a really fascinating perspective and interesting to hear what you're seeing in your state. You know, David, let's move back to you. You know, what are you seeing in your partner states when they try to justify that importance for IT? What are you seeing them handle?
Yeah, well, I think for, you know, the IT organizations to be regarded as a strategic asset as opposed to a cost center, the enterprise vision and IT roadmap that the IT organizations come up with, they have to be tied back to the business objectives of the state. You know, you can't be an IT person and say that, oh, we're focusing on data center consolidation, or we're moving to the cloud, or we're doing cybersecurity. You can't do those things in a vacuum. You need to ask yourself, why are you doing these things? What is the benefit to the citizen of the state? What is the benefit to the executive or legislative branch? What are the objectives that they're trying to do? Are you trying to give them the citizen better services faster and more cost effectively? A good example is what Tom Baden just said a few minutes ago, where, you know, when he was talking about cybersecurity, you just don't want to talk about cybersecurity in a vacuum. You know, he also was talking about things like fraud, waste, and abuse. And if you say, you know, if you want the taxpayer to open their wallet up for, you know, cybersecurity software, they may not get it or they may not appreciate it. But if you start talking about tying it back to the business of waste, fraud, and abuse, and making, you know, more cost effective for the taxpayer, I think that is really, really important. Just tying it back to the business and tying it back to the citizen, and also having success metrics. So don't just, you know, say that this is my vision, but whenever you go back and you report back with all the metrics that you're doing, you could say that, oh, we saved the taxpayer X number of dollars because of the security systems that we put in, and we were able to stem the tide of fraud that's been going on in this state.
That's a great point. Thanks for that, David. I mean, I think it's really important to emphasize that importance of linking it back to the citizen and having those measurable goals that you can measure your data against and finding out how well you've done on that. And so finally, let's go to you, Dan. You'll get the last word here. How are your partner states using IT roadmaps to justify the importance of their organizations within their state?
Sure. So there were so many good answers already. I'm going to try to come at it from a different point of view. I look at the term Internet of Things and what that actually means for every vertical and every industry as we connect things that have previously not been connected before, whether it's buses and trucks or plants and crops or animals. Everything will be connected as we look over the, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years. And so the value of this is how IT can really help businesses understand this paradigm and really start to look at how they look at their processes differently than how they look at them today. So it's not about just getting a 10 or 20% increase in productivity by adding compute capability or mobile capability. It's about changing your process so dramatically, leveraging this new technology that is here today and will be coming and rolled out over the next 3 to 5 years, that you're talking an order of magnitude change in either cost or service delivery that you can provide. So this whole Internet of Things is going to impact not just IT, it's going to impact every line of business that IT has to support. So how IT can really help the lines of business truly optimize that benefit from the Internet of Things is how I think they're going to really show the value and justify themselves as a critical key partner as every government becomes a digital government and every agency becomes a digital agency. Along the lines of connectivity, of course, is the value of data, right? And all the data that will be retrieved from all this and what the agencies and groups can do with that data through analytics and then turning that back into their process to either redo the process or add value to their customers. So it's a really exciting time as we look at being in IT and how that reaches much further out into the business than it ever has before.
That's great, Dan. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the prospects of IoT and the prospects of increased connectivity on the horizon, I mean, it makes it a really exciting time to be in this industry and really exciting to see, you know, what governments are going to do with this new technology. But for now, that's all we have for you here on this episode of Priorities. I want to thank again Minnesota CIO Tom Baden, William Chumley, the Chief Customer Officer for the state of Colorado, Rhode Island CIO Tom Girton, Dan Kent, the U.S. Public Sector CTO and Director of Solutions for Cisco, and David X, the Red Hat Public Sector Organization's Chief Technologist. Episodes of Priorities are posted monthly, so be sure to check back on statescoop.com for more. In addition to all the latest news and events in state and local government information technology. And this episode of Priorities on StateScoop Radio was brought to you by Red Hat and Cisco. And as always, thank you for listening.